Here at the 2011 Farm Progress Show in Decatur, Illinois, with me right now is Bob Dineen, who is President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. And Bob, how's this summer been going for you?
In Washington, D.C., we've had earthquakes and hurricanes. You're beginning to think that somebody up there isn't pleased with what's happening in my town.
Well, are you pleased with it?
No, I don't think anybody could possibly be pleased with it.
Well, what is going on right now? I know we're still in recess, so what are you thinking might happen once these guys get back in town, guys and gals, I guess, get back in town as far as ethanol policy is concerned?
Nothing. Look, the fact of the matter is it's got nothing to do with ethanol policy. It's got everything to do with a dysfunctional Congress that couldn't agree on, you know, whether or not Mother's Day was a good thing. These days, they're focused right now on this super committee, which is a recipe for more gridlock. There's no way those 12 members are going to be able to come up with any kind of a plan that is going to address the country's needs in terms of the budget or taxes. So you'll be looking at across-the-board cuts sometime in January and more pain for everybody. In terms of energy policy, there's just nothing happening right now. The administration is trying to do some things in terms of blender pumps, but it's hit or miss. There's not that much that they can do. The industry right now is preparing for January when the tax incentive is likely to go away. And quite frankly, that's okay. The industry is going to be fine. The marketplace has changed. Policy has changed. The industry has changed. And we never wanted to be tied to that incentive forever, and we're not going to be. I challenge any other energy industry to step up in the same way, however, and I suspect that they won't. But in terms of D.C., there's just not much happening right now.
Well, of course, the ethanol industry had come up with a very reasonable a concept, which would have done away with the tax incentive right away and put some of that money, but not all of it, into infrastructure, as well as helping to address the debt situation. And so is that idea dead at this point?
Well, if there was ever an example of just how dysfunctional Washington, D.C. is, here you have an industry coming forth and saying, we'll give you $1.6 billion towards deficit reduction, as they're trying to do a deficit reduction package. And they say, no, we don't want your $1.6 billion because we don't want to have any taxes in this budget bill. Okay, whatever. Is it dead now? Yeah, I think it is dead now because they're focused on the super committee and waiting for those recommendations, and I don't see a tax bill that would be a vehicle for something like this getting to the president's desk. We'll keep an open mind, and if there is an opportunity, we'll seize upon it, because I do think it's important to extend the tax incentives for marketers to invest in blender pumps and open up the market for ethanol. I do think it's critically important to extend the incentives for cellulose so that the industry can continue to grow and evolve, but it's difficult for me to see a pathway for that happening, you know, before January.
Well, and of course, the bigger issue here is we've got a presidential election coming up, and everybody's going to be in full presidential election gear time here before too long. We've got a huge field of Republican candidates. Many of them, because they visited Iowa, have already been asked about their views on ethanol. Most seem to be pretty, at least they're saying they're supportive. What do you think about the presidential candidate field right now for the Republican candidates?
I think they really haven't gotten down into the weeds in terms of what they plan to do about ethanol policy. Yeah, they all generally support ethanol. They're all for, you know, energy diversity and domestic sources and all that, and that's all good. But where are they in terms of do you or do you not support the renewable fuel standard? Because that is going to be the principal policy that will drive the continued expansion and investment in ethanol into the future and allow for cellulosic ethanol and other biofuels to be commercialized. So that's the critical question, and nobody has really answered that specifically as yet. They'll get there.
Well, and also the 15% waiver. They've been asked about that, and all of the candidates, at least according to Iowa RFA, all of them said yes, you know, they're still supportive of it, and they were calling on Rick Perry, who hasn't been a real friend to ethanol in Texas because, well, it's a livestock and an oil state, so what do you expect?
Well, yeah, I mean, his constituency as the governor of Texas has never been all that helpful. But, you know, you do have to remember there is ethanol production in Texas right now and a fair amount of ethanol production, and quite frankly, there was another governor from Texas that went on to become president that was absolutely a strong supporter of ethanol because he understood what ethanol could mean for the nation's energy supply, not just rural economic development, but the nation's energy supply. And he was an oil and gas guy. So, I mean, Governor Perry may eventually get there. He needs probably some more education.
Well, here at the Farm Progress Show, of course, we got a lot of corn growers around here, and the crop is all over the place in the Midwest. I've seen some really, really good corn. I've seen some really, really bad corn. And that's really the issue right now is yield, concern about whether the corn farmers are going to meet the demand, especially with so much going into ethanol. What do you think?
Well, I've just actually driven through Minnesota and Iowa and come down from northern Illinois last night. And I can tell you with great certainty that I am not qualified to answer that question. I look at the corn, and it looks pretty darn good. But, you know, clearly the weather around this part of central Illinois has been challenging this summer, and I don't think anybody is going to be surprised by, you know, lower yields than we'd like to see out of this part of the world. But the fact of the matter is the American farmer is the most productive and efficient in the world, and we will get through this. And there will be enough supply to meet the needs for grain that exist, whether it's food, feed, or fiber.
What else is on your plate these days? Anything else going on that you want to talk about?
Well, we're really focused on making sure that the E15 rule that was approved this summer allows for the commercialization of that product. We are working with the agency right now on health effects testing that we've completed. We expect to hear back from them soon that data is fine, there are no issues, and will allow our producers and gasoline marketers to certify E15 for commercial use. When that happens, you will see some marketers in certain areas decide to move into offering that for consumers, and we'll begin to see the E15 market grow. I think it'll grow slowly. I think it'll grow as a consequence of price, but there's still a lot of work we need to do in state after state after state to make sure that the state regulatory process allows for the commercialization of E15 as well. But that's our focus right now, is making sure that marketers are able to take advantage of the ability to sell E15, even if it is only for 2001 and newer vehicles.
Well, okay. Well, that's, I'm sure, keeping you plenty busy. And it's great to see you, as always, here at the Farm Progress Show. Bob Dineen with the Renewable Fuels Association. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.